Well, yesterday, who came to church yesterday? Anybody? If you came to church yesterday, you knew that yesterday was a big day, right? Well, yesterday, knowing that it was a big day, the day before was a big day too, because it was Grandma McCracken's 93rd birthday. And so Lucas and myself and the boys drove down to the farm. And well, since Lucas is a bum wheel there, he can't really drive. So I drove about five, six hours by the time I got the boys in my truck. And you know, that's a trick. Down to Ames, down to Grandma's and back. So I was really, really tired that night. I was just tired. I put up with the little, you know, those little boys all day. Chandra had a doctor's appointment. So she wasn't able to be there. I shouldn't say I put up with the boys, but when it's 2-on-1, it's a little harder, isn't it? Well, that's 3-on-1, because I was trying to take care of Lucas, too. That was my next comment. Rick, you beat me to it. So I was tired, and I went to bed tired that night. And when I woke up yesterday knowing, okay, family camp committee, we got to be over there to set up at 9, when Tyler came in to wake me up, you know, Tyler, I don't really need to set an alarm because Tyler comes in the morning and he's either in a good mood or in a bad mood. And if he's in a bad mood, he says, "Dad, get up, let's go to the living room." If he's in a good mood, he'll wake me up nicely. So he came and he rubbed my arm until I woke up. Said, "Morning, Daddy." He said, "Hey, buddy, go wake up Mommy." Because I knew it, you know, it was her morning to get up with the boys because I did it the morning before. So we kind of trade off like that. And so he went over and said, "Good morning, Mommy. Let's go to the whip room." He says, "The whippy room." And so they went out to the living room and I got to sleep a little bit more. And so that started off my big day. So I woke up with Tyler. And Tyler was just raring to go because we had been telling him about family camp. And he was just so excited. We tried to describe to him this bouncy house that we were going to get. And he was so excited to try it, but he just couldn't quite picture what it was. I said, "It's kind of like a trampoline, but it's a big house all inside. And you can bounce around and do everything you want to do and just have fun." And so he couldn't wait to come over to church. And he thought when he woke up that all of these people were going to be over at church because we told him people were going to be there. And Tyler loves people. If you know my son, you know he loves people, even if he is a little shy. And when Fern came by and said hi to him, he didn't really say much. But he is a little shy, but he loves being around people. And he couldn't wait to get to church. Yesterday, we had games, we had prizes, we had that big blow-up bouncy house, which was Tyler's favorite, and I think it was a lot of people's favorite. We had a snow cone machine, we had our soft serve ice cream machine, movie popcorn, we had the wonderful smell of a fire in the evening, and a great drive-in movie where you could sit in your cars or you could sit out and watch the movie. It was a big day, and it was a great day. Now, we played hard all day long, those of us who have kids, and Scott played a little harder with my child than I did with him because I think Tyler decided Scott was going to be his buddy yesterday and they went everywhere. But we all played hard all day. We sat and talked, we discussed, we laughed and joked. And if you've ever sat in a circle with Rick Bachman, Mike Martin, Bob Daniel, and who else was it that was there? There was another person there. Ray Moore. If you ever sit in a circle with those four guys, you know that the conversation is going to be intellectual. It's going to be, well, it was pretty good conversation. It's going to be very informative, and you're going to learn a lot of history. And so, you know, we went through presidents, we went through all kinds of stuff, but it was just a lot of fun. We sat around and we talked, we laughed, we joked, we debated. Basically, all day we just fellowshipped together. All day long. And now there was one person, I'm not going to say who it was, but I heard him telling a couple people a very simple statement. And it was a very simple statement, but it was a very, very true statement. And he said, "I needed a day like this." And I heard him say to a couple people, "I needed a day like this. Yeah, you know, I've got stuff to do, but I needed a day like this." And I thought to myself, how absolutely true. What a great statement. We've been working so hard this year. We've been learning about the works and the teachings of Christ and what we're called to do, who we are called to be, and the work that we are called to do. And you know, our theme for family camp this year, since we were going to have it at Camp Quaker Heights, was The Amazing Race. Has anybody ever seen the show The Amazing Race? Well, if you haven't seen it, I'm not going to try to describe it to you. You just have to watch it. But it kind of goes along with our themes that we've been talking about, how, you know, the race and Paul, how he looks at life as a race, and me when I pulled out all those wonderful medals, which I'm just going to keep talking about my JV races because I was such a good JV racer. But our theme was The Amazing Race in 2 Timothy 2, 4, 7, and 8. I'm just going to read that real quick. And this was going to be our scripture. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness with the Lord, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. You guys all know about the race, don't we? We've talked about that quite a few times. You know about the race. God teaches it in so many places in his word. And you look at the sermon title, it says, Running the Race, Keeping the Pace. I want to talk about what does it take to run the race. And we kind of overviewed this a little bit, but I didn't even think to mention one of the most important things. What does it take to run a race? We mentioned strength. We mentioned focus. We mentioned letting go of what's in the past that's pulling you down. Remember when Paul teaches about that? Keeping the goal in mind, keeping the end in mind, knowing where you're going. Paul teaches about that. And you know, I feel like we're ready to go. We're ready to run and work. We did our Wednesday program this week, and there was so much excitement. If you couldn't make it last week, you better come this week because you're really missing out. Come to my book study. It's really fun. So we're ready to do this, but what happens after you've been racing for a while? What happens after you've been running for a while? What happens when you work for a time? Lydia, what happens to you during your races? What happens to you during your races, besides winning? You what? You get tired. That's right. I've got it in capital letters because I used to run too. You get tired. I probably got tired a lot sooner than she did. I got tired right out of the gate just thinking about the race. But you get tired. I'm going to tell you a little secret. Maybe sometimes we don't always want to tell people this when they first become Christians because we want to teach them that it's all tulips and roses, don't we? Oh, it's great. Jesus is going to take care of you. Yeah. But being a Christian is not tulips and roses. It's a lot of work for now, right? Because we're running a race for now. When we cross that finish line that Paul teaches about, yeah, then we're going to be tulips and roses. We're going to be worshiping God. We're going to be having fun. We're not going to be here on earth. But right now, here on earth, running the race for God can wear you out. Anybody else? Can I get an amen? Anybody? Yeah. I'll be honest with you. A lot of times, I get tired of racing. Tell anybody. Uh-oh, put together a committee. Pastor gets tired of racing. Oh, we got to get another pastoral search committee. We got to get someone in here who can run all the time and not stop and not get tired. Oh, don't tell anybody. Do you know what I used to do when I would get tired? When I was in college, when I was in high school, do you know what I used to do? I'd push through. Don't stop. No, not me. More involvement. More activities. More worship. Do everything I could. More volunteering. I can't stop because I thought that's not what a true Christian would do, would they? But what happens next after you do that? You reach tired and then you try to push through and what happens? Everything just gets easier and the race becomes a breeze, right? No. Burnout happens next. And I'm not talking about the fun you get when you're driving your truck and you're pushing the pedal down. No, burnout is when your spirit and your body get so tired from running that you just get more and more and more tired until you collapse, until you can do no more. That's what a burnout is. And when you run with God, I will tell you this, you will get tired. If you run with God, you will get tired. But you know what? That means two things. First, it means, congratulations, you're in the race. If you're tired, you are in the race. Secondly, hey, you're still human. That's good. So am I. Humans get tired. We're not God. And so as God was laying this on my heart and saying, you really left out the biggest part. I shouldn't say that I really left out. I think for a reason that we left it out. But when you get tired, God is saying, what are you supposed to do when you get tired? Anybody? Rest. R-E-S-T. Rest is what you're supposed to do when you get tired. And I was thinking, I was like, okay, now God, where am I supposed to find in the Bible where you're talking about rest? He's like, oh, just open up the first page. Okay, Genesis chapter 2. If I can get it open. Verses 2 and 3, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. What did God do after he did all of his work? He rested. I think he's a pretty smart God, don't you? Also in Exodus chapter 3, or chapter 31, verses 12 through 18. This is God talking to Moses on Mount Sinai about the Sabbath. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath, because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. Whoever does any work on that day must be cut off from his people. For 6 days' work is to be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day must be put to death. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he abstained from work and rested." So here you see God's talking about, see, this is what I did. So this is what you are to do as a covenant between me and you, because I made this day holy and I make you holy. You need to remember this day. When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him two tablets of the testimony, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. So he's saying the Sabbath is to be a day of no rest, no work for anybody. And what does God say to Moses about those who work on that seventh day? What does he say? Nobody wants to say. He says they should be put to death. That is how important this is to the Lord that we rest. Is anybody going to be put to death nowadays because of that? No, this is the Old Testament. But God's character has not changed. It is still very important to him that we rest. Psalm 23. Anybody? Can you? This is the first couple lines. That's right. There you go. "He maketh me lay down in green pastures. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It's such a beautiful psalm, but it says, "He makes me lie down." He makes me lie down. Sometimes, I know this is personal. I know this from my wife talking to me about the same thing just this last week. There are times when the Lord makes us lay down because we're trying to push through. Because we think, I can take on more, I can do more. And he says, no. You ever feel like God kind of thwarted your plans? Do you ever feel that way? Like things, you had all these plans of doing this and all of a sudden you can't do it? Like when I was leading worship at Malone and I led for my junior year, and then God made me stop. And it was one of those things that was clear. But before he told me and it was clear, I was trying to do everything I could to do it again because my schedule had changed, and all of a sudden I had a class during our practice time right before worship where I had to be there and set up and prepare and that sort of thing. So I was kind of working with another leader and saying, we can do this, and I'll just run down after class, and you guys can practice, and then I'll just hop in, and I'm working through all this. And God says, no, I designed it this way. I gave you that schedule so that you have to stop. He made me stop. Why? Because I severely needed a rest that I didn't want to take. Even though I kind of knew I needed to, I did not want to take it. The next time that it seems that God has thwarted your plans and you're upset, perhaps he's trying to make you stop. Think about that. We tend to get focused on so many things. Doesn't the world just offer so many things for us to focus on? I think it's on purpose. The devil wants us to focus on everything but what we're supposed to focus on. And there are so many races. Everybody's trying to get you to join in a race, right? The race for money, the race for pride, the race for class. But you know, there's only one race that has the prize. There's only one race with a prize, and that's the one that we're on to be on. That's the only one that matters. Now, I needed yesterday. I usually, I'll be honest with you, I like to be kind of busy. I usually have a project. I usually have some plans that are occupying my mind. And how many of you are going to go home this afternoon and you have a project that you are planning to work on? Anybody? Thank you for your honesty. Maybe it's mowing the yard. Maybe it's working on the house. Maybe it's catching up on stuff. But it's work either way, isn't it? And you're planning on going home and doing it. And I'll be honest, I do that all the time. I've always got a project going, and I always want to get to it because, you know, sometimes it's fun, sometimes it becomes a burden, and you just got to get it done. But I busy myself up so much that I don't really get my rest. Now, how many people are going to go home this afternoon and just enjoy the day, enjoy the Sabbath, and rest? Vi, thank you. Good. I love doing that. Now, yesterday, when did it hit me that I needed that day? There were three times specifically when it hit me and involved each one of my family members. The first was when I was playing with Jaron. And Jaron, I'll be honest with you, he's just not a daddy's boy. Tyler is a very much a daddy's boy, if you haven't noticed. Jaron is not a daddy's boy. He wants mommy. When I go to take him, he goes, no, no. I ask for kisses, no. Chandra asks, he gives kisses and hugs. So I don't get as much time with Jaron because he's always running off to mom. But yesterday, he had no choice. He needed somebody to play with, and I was there, so he got stuck with dad. And we're out playing on the playground. You know, it's got the two slides, and the one's just a straight slide. Well, this little boy, he can do that all by himself. But he climbs up to the top, and he takes those little rubber things, and he goes, D, 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 oh! And he throws one down the slides. It says, 1, 2, 3, go. And I would catch, and I'd go, whoop! And he would giggle. And you know how babies giggle when they get that belly laugh? And if you've ever seen Jaron laugh, he shows you all of his teeth. And he's got all these little baby teeth, and they're so cute. And he'd clap his hands, and then he'd look around for another piece, and he'd count, and he would throw it down. And I sat there, and he hit me. I said, you know, if I wasn't here today, I would have missed this. I would have missed this moment with that boy. And the second one was with Chandra. And we were playing beanbags. We were playing cornhole. I'll admit, we were playing on the ISU ones. But we were playing nonetheless. And she looks over at me and she smiles and says, you know, I'm just so in love with you today. And I'm like, you know, I haven't heard that in a while. Because we don't spend that much time. Because I've always got a project going or she's always busy. And I thought, you know, if I hadn't been here today. Because there was stuff I could have done. But if I hadn't been here today, I would have missed that moment where my wife gave that affectionate word to me. And then the third time was when we were watching the drive-in movie, and Tyler, after eating all of the junk of the day, wasn't feeling very good, and he came up to me and he says, Dad, I want to go to sleep on your shoulder. And so I picked him up in my lap, and I wrapped him up in this thick fleece blanket. And you know how kids sweat when they're hot and they sleep? So I've got this little oven on me because it was kind of chilly last night, keeping me warm. And so I was quite comfortable. And I leaned back and he put his head here and he just went to sleep, completely relaxed and comfortable. And as I held him, this feeling came over me that says, you know, you better soak in this moment. You better not forget this because he's already 3 and a half. There aren't going to be that many more moments because pretty soon he's going to be a big boy. And he's going to want to do big boy things. He's not going to want to sit on dad's lap and go to sleep. And I thought, if I hadn't been here, I would have missed that. If I hadn't taken a day of rest, I would have missed that. And last night as I sat and I was recapping the day and I knew I needed a day like that. There's only one way to run this race and keep the pace. And Sundays were a gift to us from God, a day of rest to lie down in those green pastures and let the Lord renew our souls. It's a day to enjoy the things that we love, like life, family, friends, fellowship with one another. And if you can't do it on Sunday, like Sunday is a work day for me, but if you can't do it on Sunday, find another day. You need to find another day. We all need to rest. If you don't rest once a week, you feel it the next week, don't you? If your job has you going 10-hour days, 6 days a week, and you just go, 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 it doesn't take long to burn out, does it? Enjoy this day. Take your day of rest, for the race is waiting for you tomorrow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words this morning. We pray that you would permeate our hearts with them. Give us the courage to take that rest, Father God, to rest from the world, and to enjoy the things in life that you have given us to enjoy and to reboot and recharge so that we can do our best to run the race and not run just ragged and tired all the time. You are our strength, Lord, and you renew our souls. And we thank you for that. Continue to tug on our hearts when you know that we need you to renew us and we aren't letting you. We are your children, and you are our Father, and we thank you for that. Amen.